Thanks for tuning in to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast, where we talk about your body, how it moves, and empowering you with the knowledge to manage and treat your pain or discomfort. You will also get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at a successful private practice. You have the questions, and we have the answers. Now let's get moving.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast. I'm your host, Matt.
And your co-host, Allie.
Thanks for joining us today. We are bringing you another installment of our Clinical Corner.
February it is.
Yeah, so we give you a little window into the latest, greatest research out there from a PT standpoint. So,
what are we talking about today?
Well, today we are talking about prehab. We've talked about this on other episodes,
yep.
So I thought this article was pretty interesting because it was actually talking about things we had discussed on the podcast.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
People don't know you should do prehab.
I know.
Prehab is pre-rehab.
That's right. So if you think about rehab or physical therapy after an injury or after a surgery, this would be physical therapy or rehab beforehand. And prehab's gained a lot of popularity before surgery.
Necessity, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know you're going to have an injury. Like, you don't know you're going to sprain your ankle,
yeah.
So you can't prehab for that, right? But if you know you're having a knee replacement or a shoulder surgery or, a lumbar fusion.
You've got your surgery scheduled.
Yeah,
then
so you know
prehab.
In advance,
okay.
Right? Then there's prehab. So, there's been a lot of contention. Like, is prehab beneficial? Does it help?
Do people think it's like, oh, that's just a way for my physical therapist or, like, the surgery group to get more money because...
People have said that. I think people feel like, well, if I'm having surgery, why do I need to do rehab beforehand?
Right.
And I think the biggest thing, to kind of think about is that let's take what the article's about, knee replacement, as an example. We've had a lot of different physicians talk about knee replacement as guests on our episodes, which if you're interested in that, I'm going to encourage you to go back and learn more about it. Listen to some old episodes.
We have a plethora of episodes.
But, knee replacement surgery has gotten so, so good that let's say in maybe 40 minutes, an hour at the most, your knee's replaced. The joint is a new joint, but the muscles have memory and the tissue around there has memory. So it doesn't respond in 40 minutes. So if you had a knee joint that bent 90 degrees and all of a sudden now it bends 120 degrees, your muscle doesn't know it has 30 more degrees of movement. So if we can start re-educating and retraining the muscle ahead of time and get it ready for what it's about to undergo, it really, really helps. And so that's what our article's on today. We always try to give a question for our students out there.
I was going to remind you.
Yeah. So students, I think out there, if you were working with a patient and you heard that maybe this patient is having a knee replacement or a family member's having a knee replacement, what advice would you give them on prehab? Is it worth it? And should they do it?
Okay.
So I think that's a good question.
I think it's a good question.
Yeah. So the article, this article, we've done lots of different types of articles, but this particular article is a literature review.
Okay.
So
not a case study.
Yeah. Not a case study.
Okay.
That's where they go back in the literature review and they look at studies that are out there and they just try to look at a bunch of data and kind of boil it down. So they first identified like almost 6,000 trials that were out there through a search and they kind of boiled it down looking for different criteria. I won't bore everyone with the criteria they were looking for. But after they removed different criteria and whatnot, they got down to about 107 trials.
Okay, much better.
That they looked at. And then they had some kind of inclusion criteria. And so they applied that. And so there was about 16 studies that they looked at when it really came down to it after they did all the different, criteria. So they were just looking at total knee and they were trying to see does prehab improve knee function before and for how long does it improve it?
So, how long after the surgery or how long?
Yeah, so if you had prehab and, they follow folks after surgery, how long does the prehab group notice a difference versus the ones who didn't?
And I'm guessing this is an option, right? Like you don't have to do prehab. So there might be,
you don't necessarily
comparing
have
these
to.
People.
Yeah, so they're comparing ones that did prehab and ones that didn't do prehab.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, the Cliff Note or Spark Note version is there's evidence that prehab promotes superior knee functioning before and up to 3 months after total knee compared to those people who had total knee alone.
Okay.
So here's how I would term that, like in real world. Okay. Let's say you have, you know, a friend, family member, or you yourself are a patient, and you're like, my knee is killing me. I know I'm going to have a knee replacement sometime in the next year, but I'm just not ready to do it now for any number of reasons, right? It's a big surgery. Mm-hmm. People might want to put it off. Maybe they have a family wedding.
Yeah.
Maybe they have, you know, maybe they have a vacation to Europe they've been waiting to go to yeah. for a long time, or maybe they just don't want to do it in the wintertime, or yeah. they just aren't ready yet. Yeah. Emotionally yeah. ready yet. So I think that the old mentality used to be, well, I need my knee joint replaced. I should just not do anything anymore and just wait for my knee replacement.
Yeah, you're getting a brand new one.
Right. So I don't know that that's necessarily, and this study supports it, the best advice anymore.
Okay.
So I think those folks who are in a category who are someday going to need a knee replacement are also in a category of folks that'll benefit from physical therapy.
Because it's kind of like what you say is like connected to the chain. Even though they're getting a new knee, the muscles around it need to be like prepared for that.
Allie, you have learned so much on this podcast.
I feel like this podcast is up for me, really.
I feel like I'm working myself out of a job here. Allie's going to be your sole host, color and content host coming up here soon
in
24.
Yeah, I'm just absorbing all the knowledge. I'm a sponge.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, things deteriorate, and what happens is stiffness and pain beget more stiffness and pain.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, your knee gets stiff and sore, and it bends only to 90 degrees. A month later, it only bends to 85 degrees.
Oh boy. Okay.
A month after that, it's 80 degrees. Now all of a sudden, your hip's hurting. Now all of a sudden, your low back's hurting.
Yep.
Like, it is this vicious cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can prevent those compensations from happening and we can prevent that joint from deteriorating, like I said, this study shows that folks are going to have a better outcome before and up to 3 months after knee replacement. So if you're someone out there and you're concerned, like, how am I going to do after knee surgery? Like, there are folks that do a really good job trying to really stack the odds in their favor and mm-hmm. do as good as they can, right? They're working on hydration. They're working on nutrition. They're working on a lot of different things to get ready for joint replacement. Physical therapy should be one of them.
Wow.
For sure. And so
full body and mind.
Yeah.
Therapy.
Yeah. I think, I think prehab is definitely, been shown to be helpful. Now, when you dig a little bit into the weeds of this study, obviously, you know, literature review, different studies are using different methods. And so most of the methodology that they used in prehab was looking at exercise. So it was looking at exercise mainly for strengthening and exercise for mobility. Most of the folks who have listened to our podcast know that we're very manual, very hands-on therapists.
Right.
And the one thing that I would, you know, conject that maybe could even provide that much more benefit is that the studies didn't really talk about manual therapy.
Huh.
So if I was designing the perfect prehab program for someone, I would really include manual therapy with the exercise, because as we know from past episodes and we know from what's out there, the multimodal approach is going to give the best outcome. It's also not very specific in terms of looking at the methodology of these studies as far as the frequency, how often the exercises were done, the duration, or the intensity. Again, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
So I think there's room out there for, you know, anyone listening that's research-minded to put together a really great high-quality study of manual therapy and exercise with a dedicated, defined, really exercise frequency, exercise dosage, and home program adherence to that, and get it a little more regimented. I think that's what we can offer at Oxford Physical Therapy, is that we can provide, knowing this knowledge, knowing this information, hey, it's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
We can put some specifics to that.
Do they say anything in the article about, you know, how close to their surgery date they should be scheduling their prehab?
Yeah, so it's again, there was several different studies, so it kind of varied across the board.
Okay.
What I would tell folks out there is that, remember, you have direct access to Oxford Physical Therapy.
I didn't even try to set you up.
You don't need a prescription. You don't need a referral. If you have a knee replacement coming up, or you know someone that has one coming up, you have a loved one, parent, family member, yourself, whatever, and that's going to be in the next year, seek out physical therapy, okay? Get an evaluation, because then we can start the process and we can at least evaluate where you are on the spectrum. We'll have good numbers of your range of motion, your balance, your strength, your flexibility, and we can start you on a program within your tolerance, right? Because it's not to say that physical therapy is going to eliminate the need for you getting a knee replacement. Right. That's not what we're saying at all,
right? We don't really do miracles, even though it seems like that.
But it will help your pain leading up to it, yeah. And it will help your pain afterwards, yeah. And that's what this study supports. And I think if you think about your knee replacement for those that have had it done or those that are thinking about having it done, the worst time is going to be the first 3 months, right? So if you can do something to help you do better in the first 3 months, you're going to feel a lot better, you know, overall. Once you get past 12 weeks, most folks are doing pretty good.
Okay.
So if there was something you knew that you could do out there to jumpstart yourself in those first 12 weeks, man, everybody would be jumping at that idea.
I just didn't know if there were people, I asked because I didn't know if there were people out there that said, of course I did prehab before my surgery and they'd had it in December.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend like don't come the week before, you know, okay. I mean, not that you can't come, but like you've limited your opportunity for improvement, you know, so I would say any time within the year leading up to knee surgery is what I would recommend, because knowing that you'll get benefits before surgery, you might as well maximize the time you can get those benefits. And then maybe it's a check-in, you know, we could have some number of sessions and then maybe we see you every couple weeks or every couple months just to check on you, see how you're doing leading up to that knee surgery and keep things progressing and advancing at your level. I think that's the advantage we offer, is we can really custom and tailor a program that's really going to be most beneficial and impactful for the patient.
Yeah. And I also heard a rumor. So if people get prehab, they have their surgery after, and then I hear that physical therapy in the hospital or wherever comes right in and says, get up, start walking. Is that true?
It does. I mean, another thing that we've learned is earlier range of motion, earlier weight bearing, earlier strengthening is better.
Okay.
So, you know, folks aren't sitting around, you know, it's not like you get your knee replacement and you go in the hospital or you go home and you sit around for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No, you're right back in therapy 24 to 48 hours after surgery.
Crazy.
You're up walking same day, you know, so.
I can see why people are kind of scared of, like, it's sounds painful to me.
Well, I think there's, you know, I think that it sounds that way, but I think one of the things is getting in an environment where you can talk to people a lot, a physical therapist, about the surgery, about what's coming, about what's happening is going to lower your anxiety level mm-hmm. about it. And there's so much good pain control. I mean, patients really don't have the kind of pain that they used to. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's talked to a friend, family member, been in a Facebook group where they're like, oh, this was terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, come in and talk to an expert. Yeah. Let us give you some real advice.
Don't be scared of what you don't know.
Yeah. Don't let Dr. WebMD tell you the wrong stuff. So
don't ever.
Yeah. So we probably gave our student answer away through our conversation here, but
we're just so, you know,
I mean, I didn't read the full title because it's kind of in the title, but, you know, I think with good confidence as physical therapists and as students out there, if you're talking to someone who's having a knee surgery or a knee replacement, I think with good confidence you can say, yeah, prehab is good. You should do physical therapy before your surgery.
Right.
It's going to improve your pain and feeling beforehand. And up to 3 months after surgery, you'll do better after knee replacement than someone who doesn't do it. And I think that's something that, you know, we want to try to advocate is, hey, let's use evidence-based. Let's take the approach of, we know this works. Let's go for it.
And if this podcast wasn't, or if you aren't persuasive enough, you can send them this podcast.
That's right. Yeah. Send them this episode.
Yeah.
Let them listen to it. And if they have questions, remember, they can come in. They don't need a prescription referral. They have direct access to Oxford Physical Therapy.
Matt, you're great at this.
Well, you're getting better, Allie.
Right?
And so, like I said, I'm working myself out of a job.
Awesome.
Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. We appreciate it. Yeah. We'll be talking to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find us online at oxfordphysicaltherapy.com. And you can also find us on our social media pages like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Remember, you do not need a doctor's referral to receive physical therapy in the state of Ohio and Kentucky, where we offer double the care for less than half the cost. You can schedule appointments online or stop into any center for a free screen, what we like to call a B visit. Please write a review, send us a comment or message on our social media platforms, and until next time, keep it moving!